Elijah the Prophet, Chapter 85. The weather is warm in Samaria, the capital of the kingdom of the 10 tribes. The sun is shining in the cloudless skies and is beating upon the houses. Scarcely a person is seen upon the streets. However, we do see a man walking. He is clothed with a mantle of camel's hair. He enters a magnificent house. It looks like a palace. Yes, it is a palace. The king lives there. The king looks at this man in astonishment. He is a stranger to him. At least, he doesn't know him, for never before has he seen him. What does this man want of the king? Who is he? He is Elijah the Tishbite. He was born in the village of Tisba, which lies on the other side of Jordan in the land where formerly Sihon and Og lived. Elijah is a prophet of the Lord. Without fear, he approaches the king and says, "Thus saith the Lord, the God of Israel, a dreadful drought shall come. No dew or rain shall fall, but according to my word." He then turns and goes away. In utmost astonishment, the king stares at Elijah as he leaves. He is such a strange man, and his message is so odd. Probably the king laughed about it. He may have thought that this stranger was not sane. At least, he doesn't concern himself about this message. Who is this king, and why did he receive this strange message? It is a dreadful message. If this really should happen, everything will become dry, and famine will come. It would be disastrous if it did not rain in the land of Canaan. Most likely, Ahab, the king of Israel, mocked with the words of Elijah. He did not acknowledge the God of Israel. Therefore, it made no difference what the God of Israel would say. He served another god, an idol. Just who is Ahab? Boys and girls, he already was the 7th king to reign over the 10 tribes of Israel. Perhaps you shall ask, the 7th? Who were the other kings? Listen, and I shall try to tell you briefly. After the death of Solomon, his kingdom was split into 2 parts, isn't that correct? Rehoboam reigned over Judah and Benjamin. Jeroboam became king over the other 10 tribes. In our former chapter, we told you about Jeroboam. He reigned 22 years over Israel. Then he died. Jeroboam's son, Nadab, reigned after his father's death. Nadab did exactly the same as his father. Nadab also served the golden calves of Dan and Bethel. He did not reign long. He was murdered after reigning as king for only 2 years. Murdered? By whom? He was murdered by Baasha, his general. Then Baasha became king in Nadab's place. Do you know what Baasha did? He killed the entire family of Jeroboam. Not one of Jeroboam's family remained alive. They were not even buried. Their dead bodies were eaten by the wild animals and birds of prey. The old prophet Ahijah had foretold this, hadn't he? That was the severe punishment upon Jeroboam's sin. Baasha reigned next. He is the 3rd king. 24 years he governed his kingdom. He too walked in the sins of Jeroboam. He also served the golden calves of Dan and Bethel. Therefore, the Lord sent a prophet to Baasha. Because you will not serve the Lord, the God of Israel, The same punishment which came upon the house of Jeroboam shall come upon you. That was the message which the prophet brought him. This did take place. When Baasha died, his son Elah began to reign. Elah reigned only 2 years. While he was feasting, he drank until he was drunk. At this feast, he was murdered. Dreadful, isn't it? His servant Zimri murdered him, and he became king in the place of Elah. Do you know how long Zimri was king? Do not be shocked. Zimri reigned only 7 days, just 1 week. During that week, he killed all the children of Baasha. Not one of the family of Baasha remained alive. None of them received a decent burial. The same punishment which had come upon Jeroboam came upon Baasha. This was according to the word of the Lord. That is fine, Zimri thought. Now I am king. Now I am the ruler. But the Israelites would not have Zimri as their king. They made Omri their general king. Omri, the new king, immediately marched to Tirzah. The kings of Israel lived in this city. Omri fought against Zimri. When Zimri saw that he could not win this battle, he set the royal palace on fire. He remained in the palace and perished in the flames. Thus, Zimri was a suicide. Now Omri is king. However, he had no palace, because it was burned by Zimri. Therefore, he bought a hill. On this hill he built the city of Samaria. From now on, this would be the new capital. He built a magnificent palace in Samaria. Omri, too, was a wicked king. He also served the golden calves of Dan and Bethel. Yes, he was more wicked than all the former kings. He reigned 12 years, and death also came upon him. After his death, his son Ahab became king. Now you already know who Ahab is. He is the son of Omri, and the 7th king to reign over the kingdom of the 10 tribes. This is all quite difficult for you, but you must try to remember a little of it. Ahab was the most wicked king of them all. He not only worshipped the golden calves of Dan and Bethel, but besides, he began to worship other idols. His wife was the cause of this. He was married to Jezebel. She was the daughter of the king of Zidon, a land which lies to the north of Ahab's kingdom. Heathens lived in Zidon. They served Baal, which was their idol. Thus, Ahab married a heathen woman. He was not allowed to do that. The Lord, the God of Israel, forbade it. Ahab did not concern himself about that. He acted as though the God of Israel did not exist. When Jezebel came into Samaria to live, she would not serve the God of Israel. Oh no, and she would still honor her idol Baal, even in Israel. Still worse, she wanted the Israelites to honor and worship her idol. Did Ahab think this was good? No, surely. Yes, Ahab did think it quite all right, for whatever his wife said was agreeable to him. In the center of Samaria, he had a beautiful temple built for Baal, the idol of his wife. Oh, Ahab, how dare you do this? Are you not afraid that the Lord will come with his punishments? Do you think that the Lord, the God of Israel, will approve of these actions? Alas, Ahab does not concern himself at all about the Lord. The Israelites must forget the Lord. They must not think about the Lord anymore. Jezebel wanted this, and so did Ahab. But the Lord will show that he still reigns. Suddenly, a prophet of the Lord appears. This prophet is Elijah, and he makes known to Ahab that a terrible punishment shall come upon Israel. It shall not rain for years, neither shall there be any dew. The fruits of the fields shall wither. There shall be hunger, poverty, and misery in the land of the Israelites. The Lord shall show that he is the God of Israel, and that no one else is. Most likely, Ahab and Jezebel at first laughed about the words of Elijah. However, it is not long before they stop laughing, because what Elijah had foretold comes to pass. The rain does not come for weeks and months. The harvest is a failure. The grass withers and famine comes. Then Ahab becomes angry. He sends people out to look for Elijah. They hunt throughout the whole land, but they cannot find him. Where is Elijah? Yes, where is he? A little brook winds through a desolate and lonesome place. This brook, called Cherith, is a branch of the River Jordan. High mountains and great caves are on both sides of this brook Cherith. No people live there. No one can live there, for they would die of want. A man walks out of one of these caves. He stands outside. Take a good look at him. He is the same man who a few days before had entered the palace of Ahab. He is Elijah the prophet. Upon the command of the Lord, he had to go to this lonesome, deserted place and hide. Ahab would never look for him there, and if he did, he would never be able to find him. Now Elijah is living in the wilderness. You can be sure that he often prayed for his nation. Elijah is grieved because his people have forsaken the Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. However, Elijah has taken no food with him. Then it is not possible for him to remain there, for he shall die of hunger. Not possible? Not possible. Everything is possible with the Lord. Let us notice what will now take place. Evening has come. Elijah has not eaten, and he is hungry. Oh, from whence will his food come? Some black birds are flying toward him. They are ravens. They have bread and flesh in their bills, which they lay before Elijah. Elijah surely is surprised, don't you think he is too? He can drink water from the brook, and the ravens bring him bread and flesh. Ravens are birds of prey. They always eat flesh themselves. But this flesh they do not eat. This food is for Elijah. From where did they get this food? We do not know, because the Bible does not tell us. Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? The Lord commanded these irrational birds to bring food to his child and servant. They do it faithfully every morning and every evening, They return with new food for Elijah's meals. Elijah did not receive at one time a few cows and several bushels of wheat. No, he received enough food for one day and no more. He must believe in the faithful care of his heavenly benefactor. Oh, boys and girls, do you serve and fear this God of Elijah? Then he also will take care of you. God never forsakes his children. But then you must not serve God with your mouth, but with your heart. The God of Elijah still lives. However, because it did not rain for many months, the brook Cherith slowly dried up. Now Elijah had no water to drink. What will the outcome be? Near the city of Zidon, Jezebel's birthplace, lies a town by the name of Zarephath. One day a woman is picking up some sticks while walking through the woods outside of Zarephath. Now and then she stands still, looks about, sighs deeply, and again stoops to pick up more sticks. She is a widow. Her husband is dead. She must provide for her own livelihood. She has one child, a boy, for whom she must also care. But it did not rain in Zidon either. Therefore, famine also prevailed there. This woman is sorrowful because she and her child shall surely die. She still has a little flour and a little oil, enough to bake only one more cake, after which her supply will be gone. She is picking up a few sticks so that she can bake this last cake, and then they must die from hunger. Is it any wonder that she sighs so deeply? Suddenly, a stranger who is standing near speaks to her. "Do you have a little water for me?" this stranger asks. "Certainly," answers this widow. "I shall go to get you some." She is already on her way to fulfill the request of this stranger. However, he calls to her, "Bring me some bread also." "Alas, sir," she says sorrowfully, "I cannot. I still can bake one cake, but after that my son and I will have nothing." The stranger answers solemnly, "Woman, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, the meal and the oil shall not decrease. My God shall take care of that. Go. First bring me some bread. After that, you shall make ready some for yourself and your son." This stranger is Elijah. At the command of the Lord, he went to Zarephath. He could not remain at the brook Cherith, for this brook had dried up, and Elijah no longer had any water to drink. For this reason, the Lord sent him to Zarephath. But wasn't this dangerous? Zidon is situated so close to Zarephath. Doesn't the father of Jezebel live in Zidon? If he should hear this, he will capture Elijah and deliver him to Ahab. It could cost him his life. Oh, children, Elijah is not afraid. He unconditionally trusts God, who did and shall care for him faithfully. The widow hears the words of Elijah and believes him. She first brings Elijah some water and bread, which he takes. Then he goes with her. Afterward, she and her son have their food. The words of the Lord spoken by Elijah were fulfilled. Each mealtime, new flour was in the barrel, and new oil was in the cruse. Not a great deal at once. Oh, no. Only a small amount. Enough for one meal. She also must learn to put her trust in the God of Israel. The Lord did not put her to shame. Whoever will put his trust in God with his whole heart shall never be put to shame. These people were very happy. All the other inhabitants of those lands suffered hunger, and they had plenty. The Lord took care of them. Elijah remained there for months and months. One day the peace of this plain home was cruelly disturbed. Something very serious happened. The boy, the only child of this widow, died suddenly. How sad this woman was! She also became angry. What a pity! Where is her faith and trust in the God of Israel? She blames Elijah for the death of her son. If you had not come, she says, I would not be all alone in the world as I am now. We would have died together. Did you come to punish me for my sins by slaying my son? This is dreadful for Elijah. He takes the dead child to his chamber and lays him upon his bed. Listen, he is praying. Lord, he says, why didst thou let this boy die? This widow has been so good to me, and now thou hast taken away by death her only child. He stretches himself upon the child. O Lord, he pleads, let the soul of this child again come into him. Let life return into this child. Three times he stretches himself upon the child. And then? It is almost unbelievable. Suddenly this boy opens his eyes and looks about in astonishment. He is alive again. The prayer of Elijah is heard and answered by God. Children, only God can do this. The Lord can make the dead alive. He is the ruler over heaven and earth, life and death. Elijah takes this child who was restored to life and returns him to his mother. Surely this woman was happy. That evening, all three again sat at the table. Together, they thanked the Lord for his goodness. You can be sure of that.